All right, so do you recall yesterday being asked about that morning break sometime in the 10 o'clock hour that is usually taken at the work site?
Yes.
And I believe you talk about if there was a break from 10 to 10:30, then that would satisfy the requirement of the work or the daily rest break. Do you remember that?
Yes.
What if the workers started at 4 a.m., started a day at 4 a.m.? Would the 10 o'clock break satisfy that?
No.
Objection. Objection, relevance, and lack of foundation.
And also, it brings back the testimony.
That's not back to my memory.
Joint. And what else was the, I couldn't hear all the objection. Mr. Watts, did you do something different?
Well, mine was, I believe you misstated the testimony to set up this question. But I joined the other objections.
It's relevant because there are questions about the 10 o'clock break and whether or not it will satisfy the requirements for a required rest break. The foundation is the fact that she's the director's designee, that she is enforcement supervisor. And I don't believe I misstated the evidence. If I did, I didn't hear any correction to it. My understanding that she testified that there were questions along the lines of would the 10 to 10:30 break satisfy the requirement for the breaks during the day.
Mr. Kimball, you had another basis that you listed, I believe.
Foundation.
Oh.
I believe is that's
okay. She did address that, but could you indicate to me your the basis of your objection in that regard?
Well, this witness has no first-hand or personal knowledge about it. She joined this investigation well after the facts were gathered. And again, this was discussed in her prior testimony, so I believe that this is already asked and answered as well as being cumulative.
All right, well, we are on redirect as well and cross, so that's overruling the objections. As to foundation, the witness can speak within what she knows, having reviewed it. I know that she doesn't have specific direct knowledge. We're aware of that at this point with this witness.
Okay. So if the workers started at 4 a.m., if they started their work day at 4 a.m., would that 10 o'clock break satisfy the requirement for rest break?
No.
Why not?
Because the rest break must be provided within the third, between the third and fourth hour, or at the midpoint of a four-hour period of work. So if someone started at 4 a.m., they would need to have their 10-minute rest break sometime between 7 and 8 in that area.
There have been some questions to you about your direct involvement in the investigation or talking to employees, but what does the director's designee mean? What does that mean?
That means that our director has given me the responsibility of reviewing and approving of the investigation and the work of the investigators.
Okay. So did you do that in this case?
Yes.
Now, in your role, if you review the case and the methods don't make sense to you or the methods were flawed, what do you do in those cases?
Then I let the investigators know about my questions, and I usually meet with them or talk with them about it. And sometimes that results in, additional work or change of course by the investigators, or it can just result in my better understanding of what they did.
Okay. And also, how do you determine who to talk to in an investigation? How is that decided? Who more or less is going to talk to?
Well, we look at who are the governing people or the owners, the people who are in charge of the respondent businesses, any workers who may have come forward with reports of alleged violations. And every investigation, we ask the respondent employers to provide a list of their employees and the contact information so that we can interview those employees as part of the investigation.
Okay. Now, who did workers indicate that they received their pay from?
They indicated they received their pay from Baja Concrete.
And
Mercedes.
One second. Okay. Was there any indication that from this investigation that the workers had some kind of agreement that their bathroom breaks were part of the rest break?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Now, sorry, circling back to the deductions, who needs to provide the information to you or prove to you that the deduction benefited the employee?
The employer.
Okay. Did that happen in this case?
No.
What about who is responsible for providing proof of paid sick and safe time rights or the workers' rights poster? Who's responsible for providing that?
The employer.
Okay. Now, yesterday there were some questions about how you got the names that were on the findings of the workers. How you got the names of the workers that were on the finding.
Yes.
You recall that?
Yes.
So if a person's name appeared on the timesheet, but there was no pay stub for that person, was that person added to the list of agreed workers?
Yes.
Okay. So again, did OLS just pull those names out of the hat?
No. They are from the records that we've received from the employers.
Okay. And so whose responsibility is it to have all the information, like an employee's first and last name? Whose responsibility is it to keep those records?
The employer.
Okay. All right. So, Do you know whether or not there were, there was money going from Baja USA to Baja in Canada?
I'm not aware.
And are there occasions when OLS hires a company to do the outside company to do the calculations?
No.
That OLS reached about the breaks. Did that only come from the employees?
No.
Where did that come from?
From employer testimony.
Okay. And if you recall, were the timesheets, did they have a notation for when breaks were taken?
I don't believe they did.
Okay. Also, there was some questions to you about the amounts imposed in this case, the fines, fees, back wages, with the penalties and liquidated damages.
Yes.
How much of the total amount is money that's supposed to, or imposed to go to the city?
I'd have to look at the finding to be specific. The bulk of the, at least the back wages and interest and liquidated damages, that goes to the workers.
Okay. So, Examiner Exhibit Number 87, Cities Number 11. Page 393 in this document can see the total down at the bottom there?
Yes.
And so how much of the total, or how much of the amount that OLS has imposed, how much of that is Washington State?
I believe it is this amount here, $170,786.20. It's based on the violations that were sustained and the remedies that are laid out in the ordinances.
Cross redirect by Baja, please.
I apologize. Ms. Cavender, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the so-called kickback issue, but are you aware that both Mr. Machado and Baja's representative testified that this involved a repayment of a loan?
I'm not aware of that.
And just so we're clear, when did you first get involved with the investigation that you're now dealing with?
I was enforcement manager at the time we received the initial complaints from workers.
When did you first take a look at the file or do any work on the file?
I was aware at the time of intake of these complaints, so I looked at that file where I spoke with the investigators at that time, and then I think that was probably the first time.
And what day was that, or date?
I don't recall.
What year?
Probably 2019.
So you're not even sure of that?
I'm sorry, I was slow on my unmute, but I'm objecting to the argumentative nature of that question.
I'll rephrase it. Is it correct that you're not even sure that it was 2019?
I believe that's argumentative.
Okay. Overrule.
You can answer.
I believe the intakes occurred in 2019.
There have been several references to a Schedule 1 employer in the questions that you dealt with in this matter. Do you recall some of those questions?
Yes.
What is the minimum number of employees that determines whether or not an employer is a Schedule 1 employer?
I'd have to look to be absolutely certain, but I believe it's over 500 is the minimum for a Schedule 1.
Recall the date that Baja Concrete USA became registered in Washington State as a foreign corporation?
No.
So, So, Ms. Kevinger, you're looking at Exhibit 97, and specifically, I would like you to direct your attention to the effective date of this registration. Do you see that, the wording effective date on this page?
Mr. Kimball, no. We just see a list of exhibits. We do not see a specific document.
All right, can you just give us 1 minute to kind of sort this out? Are you sharing the screen? Are you able to see the document now?
Yes, I see an annual report from the Secretary of State.
Okay. And then, do you see the section titled Governor?
Yes.
And there are two people listed, one is Claudia Leticia, and the other is Carlos Armando.
Yes.
Okay. And you testified that you understood that Carlos was an owner of this business. Is that correct?
I testified that I understood him to be a governor or director of this business.
Okay. Are you aware that subsequent to the filing of this document that he no longer was involved in the operation or the ownership of Baja Concrete USA?
Objection, relevant.
And Your Honor, I believe it is relevant because there's been testimony that contact was made with Carlos or was attempted to be made with Carlos and that he was not responsive or helpful, and at that point our position is he was no longer involved in the business, and so that is not evidence of a lack of cooperation.
Overruled.
So again, are you aware that Carlos and Murray no longer was involved in the operations or ownership of Baja Concrete USA after a certain point in time?
I don't recall that.
Did any of the investigators tell you that?
If they did, I'm not remembering that right now. Okay.
And can you take a look at the effective date on this document? You see that one?
Yes.
And just for the record, is that June 28th, 2019?
Yes.
And I think that you testified to this, but I just want to be clear. Are you aware that Baja Concrete USA, its primary place of business is in South Florida?
I understand that's the mailing address for the governors.
And in fact, isn't it true that Baja Concrete USA was first formed in and under the laws of the state of Florida?
I can't speak. I'm not sure what its previous history was, but I can see that it was incorporated in Florida in 2019.
Okay, are you sure it was 2019 and not before?
I'd have to look at that exhibit again, or the Articles of Incorporation exhibit, actually.
you have before you now is Exhibit 93, which you referred to earlier in the testimony this morning. Does this refresh your memory about the timing and the location of the formation of Baja Concrete USA?
Yes.
Now we can go down to the date. And in fact, it appears that the articles of incorporation were received by the Secretary of State in Florida on or about September 15th of 2017. Is that correct?
Yes, that's what the stamp at the top says.
There have been brief references to a Canadian company called Baja Concrete. Do you recall that testimony?
Someone asked me about the Canadian company, but that's, I recall that question.
Do you have any knowledge that the Canadian company had anything to do with the subject investigation?
I am not aware.
And again, just to clarify, I believe you testified this morning that you did not do any first-hand investigation yourself. All you did was review the investigatory reports and other information provided to you. Is that correct?
That's correct. I also spoke with the investigators and others.
Nothing further.
Go to cross redirect by New Way.
Morning.
Morning.
The OLS investigators have conducted field visits at other sites as part of their investigations, correct?
They have in the past, yes.
And what are the purposes of those field visits or site visits?
Sometimes it's to make contact with the employer if the employer hasn't responded. Sometimes it's to speak with workers. Those are some examples.
Wouldn't you agree that a visit to the worksite here would have been helpful in determining whether there was joint employment liability?
I'm not sure that it would have. Given the time that this was occurring, that we weren't doing a lot of site visits due to the pandemic, and we were able to evaluate that based on what we were told by witnesses and what was shown in the records.
Okay, but during the course of the entire investigation, you just interviewed one person from New Way Farming. Is that correct?
I think that's the only one who was available, yes.
Okay, and didn't Mr. Machado, is that who it was?
Yes.
Okay. And didn't Mr. Machado tell the OLS that he didn't directly interact with the employees on Baja's payroll?
I am not sure about that.
Okay, but the OLS did not interview or request to interview any of the New Way foremen who allegedly interacted with the employees on Baja's payroll. Is that right?
I have to look to make sure. I'm not sure.
Okay, but you didn't, the OLS, as far as you know, didn't request to take any interviews of any New Way foreman, correct?
There were some people that I believe we requested interviews or did interview, and they may have been foremen, but I have to look at the file.
For New Way?
Yeah.
Okay.
New Way or Baja. I'd have to double check.
Why did the OLS want to speak to the governor of Baja Concrete USA?
Well, generally, when we investigate a company, we attempt to speak with the people who are in charge of that company.
And why is that?
Because they are the ones responsible for the company's practices and would have access to the records and information that we need. And okay. They're usually like the legal agents of the company to be served with records and that kind of thing.
Okay, but the OLS did not request to take the interviews of any of the newly directors or governors, is that correct?
I am not sure. I'd have to review the requests for information that were filed.
The request for information would tell us whether the OLS requested to take the interviews of any of the newly governors, directors.
Well, actually, the request for information and any, I'd have to review the file to see what communications were made specifically with NUWAY.
Okay, but as you sit here today, do you specifically remember any time that the OLS requested to take the interviews of NUWAY governors and directors?
I can't recall that, no.
Okay, I'm going to share my screen again. Okay, I'll scroll up to the top. This is City Exhibit 105, which I believe is now Hearing Examiner Exhibit Number 90. Do you recognize this document?
Yes.
Okay, and is this the initial request for information that OLS sent to NUWAY?
I believe so. I think it's the request for information notice of investigation.
Okay, and I'll go ahead and scroll down so we can take a look at the whole document. Okay, so here's the initial notice of investigation you just referred to, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And is this the initial request for information?
Yes.
Okay. So just a bit ago, we were talking about whether Mr. Machado responded to number 5 or number 6. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay, and then did you say he did not?
I believe he did not.
Okay, do you know if NUWAY responded to these requests for information?
I don't believe NUWAY provided. They might have provided some records in response to 5A after the subpoena.
Sure, but is 5A requesting to provide all written communication, text and email between Antonio Machado, Roberto Contreras? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so it's asking for written communication, texting, or email between those companies or entities,
yes.
Correct? Okay, now I'm going to look at NUWAY's exhibit number 40. Do you recognize this document?
Yes.
Okay, and what is it?
It's the response from counsel for NUWAY. To an email that the investigator sent.
Sure, and then what is NUWAY providing here?
It says that they're providing invoices and timesheets for the Dennyway location, the Denny Center located at Fairview, and then the West Bank Fright Towers at Terry Avenue.
Okay. I'm going to scroll down to the second page of this document. Do you recognize this document?
Yes.
Okay, and then what is this document?
This is additionally a previous response from NUWAY counsel to the investigators at OLS.
Okay, and is this in response to the initial request for information that we just looked at?
I think it is.
Okay. So going down here to number 5 and number 6, which is what we just looked at, what does NUWAY say in response to number 5 and number 6?
NUWAY says that there is no written communication or text between Mr. Machado and Mr. Contreras. and that they only communicated by phone. And, and that the communication was never about hours worked or sick leave. And they just communicated verbally on the phone about the floors that people worked on, like steps, for example, that kind of thing.
Okay, so even if these communications did not exist, the OLS still found that Mr. Machado knew he willfully interfered with the investigation?
Yes.
Can an employee or subject worker violate the ordinance requiring pay for hours worked?
No.
How about requiring pay for overtime freedom? Can an employee violate that?
No.
Can an employee violate the ordinance requiring pay for sick and safe leave?
No. I mean, an employee, if you're talking about a manager or agent of the employer, then that's different, but...
Okay. If an employee willfully interferes with an investigation, does the OLS have jurisdiction to impose any sort of sanction against that person?
If the employee is also an employer or acting on behalf of their employer, then we can sue them.
Okay, but what if they're just acting on their own, can they?
If they're acting as an employer, we can.
Okay.
If they're one of the employees who was denied paid sick time or denied a break, then we wouldn't.
Okay. If an employee perjured themselves, does the OLS have jurisdiction or authority to prosecute that perjury or impose any sort of sanction?
Objection, relevance, lack of foundation, I don't think this is relevant at all. There's been no testimony about an employee perjuring themselves in this case.
I guess I was just trying to get a better idea as to what authority the OLS has or what would happen if an employee did not tell the truth during one of the interviews.
Sustained, also not related to anything on direct.
Okay. I have no further questions.
Thank you, Ms. Kepinger.
Thank you.
Excuse. We'll take our morning break now, return at 10:45.